Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. We have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind.
Well, hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I'm sorry to disappoint those waiting for me to weigh in on the downing of the Chinook helicopter, killing 30 of our finest, among them 22 Navy SEALs, some of whom were members of the elite SEAL Team 6. But the clouds of conspiracy are gathering all around it, and I'm trying to see whether there is any substance to the idea that it was an effort to silence some SEALs who were threatening to reveal that the killing of Osama bin Laden was fake, like Obama's birth certificate. I'll say this much, and this from a retired Air Force colonel and avid fan of the brain massage, Jim Kaufman. Quote, this was a rescue mission. It may have been a short-notice emergency decision made in the face of limited resources. The helicopter was a high-capacity resource with a great track record for reliability in operations at higher altitudes. Intel may have reassured the decision-makers that the LZ landing zone was a low-risk area. This same scenario may have played out many times before with outstanding results. The shot appeared to be a lucky hit with an anti-tank weapon, not normally considered a threat to aircraft. So much is unknown, so much will remain unknown, but I do know this. The witch hunters out there are searching for someone to blame, whether they are guilty or not. Second guessers in and out of the chain of command are so good at creating scenarios that will conveniently cover the appropriate bleep that we may never know what happened, end quote. So my advice is to keep a weather eye on the developments of the story, and don't forget to pray for the families of these brave men and women. And remember Zachary Scheidbach, my son, and the rest of our soldiers when you do. London Bridge is, actually London Bridge was sold to Arizona, and my dad used to take us under it on his boat somewhat regularly on our trips to Lake Havasu, so it's not falling down, but London is burning. I'm going to come back to England's angst in a bit. How about that downgrade president of ours, huh? Isn't he a peach? Don't let him fool you. He is taking his vacation to Martha's Vineyard during this financial crisis because, hey, he's worked hard to get this nation to the brink of bankruptcy, and he needs some downtime, bro. The president alleged, where's your authentic birth certificate, sir? Believes it is his mission as president to humble America. He has been downgrading America all over the world in his speeches. Remember President Obama has behaved perversely toward our friends. Like a sycophant to our enemies, he has downgraded our economy. He has downgraded our leadership position in the world. He has downgraded our representative republic, downgraded our democracy, downgraded American exceptionalism. He has downgraded our currency, and now he and his cohorts want to downgrade our military superiority. Oh yeah. Barney Frank says we should gut our military in order to restore our AAA rating. President-alleged Obama will go down in history as the downgrade president. Is he a simpleton who is in over his head, paralyzed by his incompetence, unable to lead? Is he a malevolent man who, with malice in his heart, is working to bring America to her knees at the altar of European socialism? I mean, he blames everyone else, refusing to recognize that his policies have led us to where we are, and if we continue following him, we are going to end up greased. Or like London. Bible thump alert! Bible thump alert! Straight from God's heart through my heart to your heart, listen. Quote, O my people, they which lead thee destroy the way, end quote. Now, hey, don't throw Romans 13 at me. God has ordained the power, but he has not ordained every personality who holds it. Haven't you ever read Hosea 8, verse 4? Quote, they have, wait a minute, oops, some of you still have difficulty hearing someone read the Bible on the radio, I mean in public. So grab your oxygen bottle, get your smelling salts ready. Cover your ears, because I'm just about to quote the book our founders referred to, referenced more than any other single source. It's called the Bible. Remember that one? And it says, quote, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off, end quote. That's interesting, isn't it? It's like they have a perverse self-destruction complex. They do just exactly what's calculated to cut them off. Anyway, this King Obama that we set up without God and his princes that support him, that God refuses to acknowledge? Well, they have worked together to bring America down, to seduce our nation out from under God. Yeah. Well, remember, Obama informed us right up front that we are no longer a Christian nation. Their policies reduce our people to idol worshipers. Think about it. Worshipping the state, you know, where the state takes the place of God as their source for income. They lead the people to forsake the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be clear here, shall we? He blames the Tea Party. He blames the rascally Republicans who refuse to go for his Punish the Producers tax scheme, which is always a ripoff on the poor. I mean, it really is. These tax and spend clowns, they've got to know that when they punish the producers, it falls most heavily upon the poor. For example, all taxes on business necessarily becomes part of the cost of doing business, and these costs are built into the prices of their goods and services. Think about it. You want to know what actually happens? American businesses then have a greater burden in their effort to compete with foreign markets. It stifles business so that entrepreneurs hold off starting or expanding. And in the end of the day, the people who are ultimately most punished by these self-described Robin Hoods are the poor they pretend to serve. Have you not been paying attention? Every socialist, communist country, name anyone you want, look at it. The division between the poor and the rich is greater than what you have in capitalist countries. Just look at the facts. Why don't you try that? In every country where socialism has made advances, the division between the very rich and the very poor becomes greater. Check it out in our own country. The farther we go down this road towards socialism, aren't you noticing? The greater grows the gulf between the rich and the poor. You know, when Reagan did his thing, guess what? Oh yeah, the gap between the rich and the poor narrowed. Pay attention. You want a solution to America's economic woes? Let's drill, baby, drill, all right? That one thing alone will create hundreds of thousands of jobs. I mean, in that industry alone. And this will spur economic growth in the service sector, and it will ripple out all over the economy. And that's only one thing that can be done. Good night. The strength of the American economy is truly amazing. All that has to happen is for government to get out of the way. The roar of our economic engines could deafen the rest of the world. And they know this to be a fact. Oh, yeah. And that is the reason those advancing the socialist agenda in America, a.k.a. the progressives, that's why they keep a stranglehold on our economy. They just can't kill it, though. They keep trying. I mean, one testimony to the amazing resilience and depth of the strength of America's economy is how it keeps on going no matter. Even the latest ups and downs shows an amazing resilience. It seems no matter what these characters do to it, it just keeps surviving. Listen, in less than a year, this economy could turn around and be booming. All they have to do is cut wasteful spending and let loose American industry, American productive power, especially in energy production, which would not only energize this economy, it would break the back of our enemies in very short order. Anyway, Obama plays the blame game. He doesn't lead. He whines. He blames the Tea Party, the Republicans. He blames Standard & Poor's. He blames the credit rating companies. He blames, but he never offers any actual plan of his own. Not once since he's been the president has he offered any concrete plan. He talks about one. He keeps telling us that there is one. He's going to reveal it. But have you ever seen one? He never actually presents a plan. This man is not a leader. Either that or this is his plan. He is operating on Plan A, and Plan A is downgrade America. If you think about it, he's been working that plan from day one. He even blames the Constitution, for heaven's sake. Inside alert, warning, listen up. Look, I hope you're paying attention. One thing I've noticed about Obama is that he'll tell you what he's up to if you listen to him. Have you noticed the number of times lately he or someone in his administration, including those unofficial Obama administrative operatives in the MSM, have you noticed how they are dropping the subtle and sometimes not so subtle hint that the Constitution is the problem? He has openly talked about the need to rewrite the Constitution. Recently, he has told us how he is tempted sometimes to forego the Constitution and just act on his own. He has subtly suggested it is what is in his way of delivering the hope and change he promised. Huh. Others supporting him have been dropping the same hints. Recently, one of his operatives, Cokie Roberts, has essentially said right out loud in front of God and everybody that the United States Constitution is the problem. You know, it's the reason we can't get things done over here. And guess what? She's right. Obama's right. The Constitution is in their way. Thank God for it. If it were not, we'd be greased already. We'd have already had a collapse of the Union. We'd be London. London is burning. Her children are setting fire to their own house. The truth about what is going on in Britain and how it relates to what's going on or going down here in good old USA. Got to take a short break. We'll get into it when I get back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If after 5 minutes or less of Pastor Scheidbach's brain massage, sounds like these begin involuntarily emanating from your throat, you are a lights off listener suffering liberal colic syndrome. On the other hand, if this sound rises in your heart at the sound of Pastor Scheidbach's voice, you are a lights on listener reveling in the light of truth, justice, and the American way. Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Baptists have left a trail of blood across the pages of history, and that blood was their own. Baptists have paid dearly for their refusal to compromise on the firm commitment to the divine right of every person to believe and speak according to the dictates of their own conscience. Long before the Reformation, Baptists refused to accept the Pope as the head of the church, rejected infant baptisms, and refused to use images or to worship Mary. For this, millions were martyred during the Dark Ages, and later, during the early colonial period in America, Baptists were cast in prison and harassed by the Protestant churches. Indeed, America owes a great debt to the Baptists for our traditions of religious liberty and free speech in this country. We identify with the heroic heritage of steadfast faithfulness to the Word of God, and that is why the word Baptist is in our name. Visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church on West Bedaravia Road in Santa Maria. Look for the Lighthouse. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. Lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch. Singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Look what's going on in London. Midnight British correspondent Max Hastings has offered a penetrating analysis of this crisis that is taking place in his own backyard. Indeed, he's watching it from his own backyard. In other words, this is an analysis coming from someone who has lived in England, grown up in that society, watched it for a lifetime. He explains that the roots of the riots are systemic in the socialist system that has been the foundation of England's society for decades now. He says the kids are essentially taught to expect the government to take care of them, that therefore they don't take responsibility for themselves. He explains that in British society, for many decades now, the culture has moved farther and farther away from the idea of inculcating a sense of loyalty to country and commitment to doing one's duty, characteristics that at one time very much defined what it meant to be British. He explains that the welfare society has relieved the young Brits of hunger and real want, that there is no concern about lacking what is needed to survive. They can spend their time reveling, getting drunk, having sex, you know, making them vulnerable to Muslim rabble-rousing. Huh? It's been shown that some of that is going on. Max explains that along with this trend, there is another disturbing one. Their society is becoming increasingly reticent about expressing disapproval for bad, crude, or rude behavior from the youth. Sanctions against unacceptable behavior or social behavior have been removed from their culture. Wrongdoing is inadvertently encouraged. How? Well, public pressure of disapproval is directed against any who openly disapprove or publicly shame ne'er-do-wells. And they have set up laws that literally punish the victim of some crimes in the asinine notion, you know, that abuses may be eliminated by destroying the object which is abused. He explains that today the Brit kids don't believe they should have to do anything they don't want to do. They are not expected to honor their society or their authorities, nor are they encouraged to feel any obligation of allegiance to their country or any code of ethics or morality. They are like feral cats. They roam the streets and live a hedonistic lifestyle. With no responsibility to fetter them to productive behavior, they tend toward destructive behavior. Now, folks, surely you can see that we are headed in exactly the same direction, and we've already made significant strides to that end. Our pastors in this country have ignorantly labored to make duty a dirty word. I mean, the only action that has merit, in their view, is one that is done to please yourself. It kind of goes like this. An act is truly good only if you do it because you want to do it. Well, let me tell you, that makes hypocrites, or it makes scumbags who pride themselves in their self-righteous notion that they are better than those who conform for the sake of duty, because at least they are not hypocrites. Yeah, you know, so Jesus was a hypocrite because he said, "Remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done." And then he proceeded to the cross to do his duty. Our society does not want to tell our kids that anything is wrong, except what is right. What they tell the kids is right is in fact wrong. They want them to believe premarital or extramarital sex is okay, murdering babies in the womb is okay, homosexuality is okay. At the same time, condemning such sexual promiscuity is not okay, even though it contributes to the disturbing rise in debilitating diseases afflicting our young people in ever-increasing numbers, even though it destroys families, even though it is creating virtual sex zombies out of our kids, or many of them, breaking down their ability to form genuine bonds of loyalty, habits of responsible restraint of passions, and the understanding of the value of doing one's duty, not out of service to oneself, but out of service to God and his neighbor. Selfishness is everywhere promoted and encouraged as a virtue. Babies are killed in service to this virtue. Purity is stolen by selfish boys who want to play with the little girls like their personal sex toys. Wake up. How much of this descends from a culture that refuses to lay the burdens of responsibility for taking care of yourself and your family cannot be scientifically measured, but everyone listening to me who has any common sense remaining knows that it is very near the foundation of our problems in this culture. When fathers were required to take responsibility for their children, and children were compelled to honor them, respect authority, and had to learn the real-world relationship between work and receiving the necessities of life, you get it. The progressives in America are promoting exactly the sort of culture that we are seeing displayed in the British riots. There are persons who want this in America. They want to collapse the culture, really, in every Western country. It hopes to build a one-world global system where the leaders don't have to bother with constitutions. They can rule according to their own will. After a speech given by Romney at the Iowa State Fair, a group started chanting, "Wall Street greed! Wall Street greed!" Now, Romney's certainly not my choice for president, I can tell you that. But I was glad he at least made an effort to confront this nonsense in a direct way. Good for him. However, my point here is that these Democrat types, these progressives, for them, the basic idea is that the rich oppress the poor. That's it. It's all as simple as that. And you know what? They do. The super-rich Democrats, like Soros, pursue policies that are aimed very specifically at bringing the poor under their control. But the game they play is to use this rich versus the poor scheme to manipulate the poor into serving the interests of the super, or shall we call them the filthy rich, those who have amassed great fortunes through perpetrating evil in the world, like George Soros. The Democrats view anyone who has more than someone else as the hated rich. The middle class is their constant target. And they want to wipe it out, so they'll start at $250,000. Once they've destroyed that tier, they'll go for the over $100,000, and then they'll go after the $75,000, and so on. And they'll never be satisfied until they have it all. But anyway, the idea is that so-called white-collar greed drives the marketplace in Western economies and is responsible for all the evil oppression in the world. Really. Well, guess what? Greed wears blue collars, too. Oh, yeah. Why don't we chant, "Union greed, union greed, union greed"? How about Wall Street greed, union greed, White House greed, Congress greed, both houses, by the way? How about Hollywood greed, welfare greed, homo greed, hetero greed? I mean, you get the point. Greed is every man's sin. Greed is covetousness, and covetousness is every man's sin. Hey, I get it. I understand that. What I resent is that these progressives pretend that the rich have a corner on greed, when the fact is, what motivates the resentment they feel against the rich is their own confounded greed. In fact, if you really want to get into this, let's think about it. Who really are the greedy creeps that are ruining our country right now? Is it the people who work hard, who are blessed and succeed in their industry, for whom hard work and sacrifice has paid off, and they have accumulated some much of the world's goods and enjoy the fruit of their labor and hard work, industry, wise choices, and so on? Often, these are the people whose activity creates jobs and opportunities for others. Their success almost always channels income and blessing into the lives of others. Hey, knucklehead. The guy who drives the Beamer pays money for it that goes into the pockets of some laborer that feeds his kids with it, huh? So you say, well, he's driven by greed. Really? Then when you go to work, assuming for the moment I'm talking to at least some of you out there who resent the so-called rich because they have stuff you don't have or that you can't afford. So when you go to work to earn an income, are you motivated by greed? Evil, wicked, dirty greed? And when you work to get a raise in your pay, to provide more for your family, would you say you're driven by dirty, evil, wicked greed? When you leave one job to go to another because it pays better, is it all about greed? Think about this. How about when you look at what the guy you think is rich has, and you compare it to what you have, and you become resentful that he has more than you have? Or that he has what you want, and you start setting your eyes on what he has, and you want to force him to share it with you because it's not fair that he should have what you don't have. That, my friend, is the very definition of greed. That is the worst kind of greed, because at least in the other instance, the entrepreneur has had to give. He has had to sow his resources in the lives of others in order to get his gain. But in your sorry case, you're not sowing anything into the lives of others. You're only taking. Now listen up. The greed that is killing America is the greed that takes another man's earned wealth. It's the greed that demands someone else takes responsibility for needs that you're responsible to take care of. The biblical principle is this. You don't work, you don't eat. Now here's the principle that used to guide American culture. You might remember it. Thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. Remember that one? The 10th commandment. Hey, the guy who has prospered by investing his labor and capital in the lives of others is no more likely to be a greedy bum than the worker who takes a job from him. That's a matter of individual character. But let me tell you where the greed that is destroying America is at. It's in the heart of those who covet what their neighbors have. We need a good old-fashioned dose of the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Okay, I've got to wrap up another really big shoe. I intended to... let's look here. All right, Ann Coulter's departure to the dark side. Let me take a moment for that. I don't really have time to develop it as thoroughly as I was going to. That's not unusual, is it? There is an increasing number in the GOP who are downplaying the negative significance of the homosexual agenda to the overall cultural, political, and even economic health of our country. The homosexual agenda, as I have shown in other shows, corrupts everything it touches. A perversity that goes to the deepest levels of rebellion against nature and against nature's God. Homosexuality is a symptom of a complete breakdown in the moral structure that supports virtually all other morals. At least all moral maxims compatible with the spirit of the Bible. It is agreeable with the spirit that denies God as creator. It is agreeable with the spirit that holds that no truths are absolute and that morality is nothing else but man-made rules to manipulate and control other men. It is agreeable with the principles of chaos. Homosexuality, if embraced, destroys all arguments for sexual fidelity and opens the doors to every imaginable perversity, all of them bringing varying degrees of evil into our communities and upon the lives of our children. Ann Coulter has joined the advisory board of Go Proud. Now, this group advances the homosexual agenda in the GOP. And it will, in the end, destroy GOP, I believe. I've read and heard her explain her position on the issue of homosexuality. And her take on it is essentially that, hey, it's a born-that-way thing. And really, the homosexuals ought to go conservative because the liberals don't really have their best interests. It's like a political move, you know, to gain a rich group of very active supporters and voters. She professes to be a Christian. Perhaps it's a nominal profession. I don't know. She professes to recognize the behavior is forbidden in Scripture and that homosexuals ought not to practice this sin in a manner similar to how heterosexuals ought not to practice adultery and so on. But Anne is making a great mistake because they're not on a par. One is unnatural. I don't care how many friends she has that are gay and who think she's just fabulous. The homosexual lifestyle is corrosive to culture and must be rejected. Her participation in Go Proud gives credibility to the lifestyle, if for no other reason, because of the fundamental reason she offers for being able to join them. Because fundamentally, as far as she is concerned, it's a born that way thing. Born that way? What, like cleft palate? Or polycephaly? You know, like any kind of abnormality, deformity, an aberration of nature? Is that her take on it? An incurable physical aberration? Like multiple heads on a baby, like the baby born in China? How sad. an aberration of nature that they must just live with and learn to cope with and stuff like that. Is that what she, is that her take on this? You know, and the homosexual community accepts that? Well, they have another agenda, if they do, for keeping her on their team. And that agenda is to manipulate the GOP leadership into finally supporting the gay agenda. Look, I've got to close, but think about this. Ann Coulter scoffs off the junk science that is used to perpetrate the myth of global warming. Justly so, by the way. But she accepts the junk science used to foist the born that way myth. And I've studied this very carefully, by the way. We've even debated on the issue. And the so-called science supporting the idea that homosexuals are born that way is bogus. It is even more suspicious than what is used to support global warming, for heaven's sake. Now, what is going on here? It's been nice knowing you, Anne. Well, I mean, I've never met her, of course, but figure of speech, folks. But goodbye, Anne. So far as I'm concerned, you've been flattered into blindness on this one. You've become a tool in the hands of the Dark One to chip away at the very foundation of morality in our culture. It's a snake that's going to bite you. Well, I have lit the lamps of the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number is 1-888-770-8000. It's a message-only hotline. You call and you say, lights on, if you agree with what I'm saying. And you say, lights off, if you disagree. You may leave a message for me. I'd love to hear from my listeners. 1-888-770-8000. Say lights on if you'll ride like Revere, spread the warning. Say lights off if you disagree with what I'm saying, and let me know what you think about what I've said today by calling 1-888-770-8000 and leaving me a message. If you prefer, you may email me by going to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. Thebrainmassageshow.com. Click on the Contact Us button, and you'll see a form there you can fill out for lights on, lights off, and then you can leave as long a message for me as you like. I read all my emails personally. And I will respond if you ask me to. If you are in a hurry, you can just give me a lights on, a lights off, and then hang up. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message.
I have written melodies for several of the Psalms, and I'm gratified that so many have enjoyed singing them. We've produced a CD titled Singing Psalms. $10 covers the cost of the CD and includes a $3 donation to our ministry. Call 1-888-770-8000 to order yours today. Or go to www.santamarialighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind man's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Going to church like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going, getting nowhere. Has your faith made the difference you're looking for? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, a lighthouse for the family. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The brain masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.